Hi everyone, I'm Mark Esper. Welcome to another instant no-spoiler reaction. Quite often we get to see films before they hit the cinemas. Sometimes it can be a few months, sometimes it might only be a day beforehand. Either way, we're now recording our instant reactions, and together with a monthly roundup podcast to see if we still feel the same way weeks later. Because sometimes there are movies that can change your mind. Have a listen now to our latest instant reaction.
So, just been to see Brian and Charles. My good friend Alex Bowington from First Showing Net. What do you think?
Well, this is a Sundance 2022 film.
Indeed.
I knew about it because it's based on a short film, which I actually posted like a few months ago, so it's pretty recent. Mm-hmm. I mean, pretty recently it showed up online, and then obviously they'd been making this film based off of this. So I'd seen the short, and I thought, oh, this is cute and fun and kooky, because it's about this weird robot guy, and I love sci-fi shorts. I think the first thought I had was, what are they going to do with the movie? Because the short, I think it's like around 15 minutes.
It's 12 minutes.
Yeah, it's good, and it establishes the whole concept and sets up the characters, which is, you know, the main guy, Brian, and his funky robot friend, Charles. Mm-hmm. And my initial thoughts are exactly that. Like, okay, the first 20 minutes, good. They kind of reestablish it and redo it and reset up this whole thing, which is this lonely... I think it's from Wales, right?
It's Wales, definitely.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to get it wrong and call him a Welsh dude if he's a British dude.
I think he's a British dude adrift in Wales. That's a safe way to describe it.
You put it in a way that keeps me from getting yelled at by someone. And he builds this little robot friend, and after that 20 minutes, and I won't spoil it because I want people to wait to see, I was a little bit concerned. Like, it's just a story about him and the robot and a girl, which is kind of obvious when she shows up, and it's just this story about loneliness in a way.
Sure, so like painting the dots. We've got Brian, who's an inventor, who invents things that people don't necessarily want. Mm-hmm. And he's living in his own little bubble, and he's living a very, very lonely existence. And he finds this washing machine. And to other people, a washing machine is just a dead washing machine. But to him, it's the potential for friendship. And I think that's the thing about the film, is that it's all about hope. It's this marriage of kind of like Frankenstein kind of meets Hunt for the World of People. Mm. It's got that kind of charm thing running for it. Mm. And it just slowly just sort of gets deeper and deeper and deeper.
Yeah.
I think the guy who does the voice for Charles is sublime.
Yeah, excellent.
Because it's not robotic. It's not like a normal person speaking. It's in this weird middle place, but it just totally works.
Yeah.
And Charles is like this kind of nascent child. And through the course of the film, we kind of see him go through all these different stages of like childhood, adolescence, angry young teenager. Mm. And it's just brilliant how it just pulls you in. And I think a lot of that has got to do with the charm of David Earl, who you'll have seen from things like Afterlife and Derek. And he's playing a much more subdued, withdrawn character here.
Yeah.
And I think the thing about this film is you kind of need to go with it. If you come at it with a jaundiced, oh, well, that's not realistic kind of eye, you ain't going to get this film. Mm-hmm. You're not going to enjoy it.
It's like hard to place it. And I don't even know how to pitch someone on it. You know, like, I know my film friends can be into it because it's a film, like a cool little indie film. But to get anyone in the public to see it, I don't even know what to say. Like, oh, it's about a guy and his robot. Well, that's not going to sell you. It's just, how do you even talk about that in a way to get people into it?
I think I was getting lots of vibes off it. I was getting a babe vibe off it as well. This kind of like, you know, it's happening in the country. It's somehow connected to reality, and yet it's in its own little pastoral world.
Yeah.
I think the dialogue is razor sharp in places where it needs to be. And I mean, like, we have some antagonistic forces at play, which we can't really kind of go into too much, I guess, for spoilery reasons. But
yeah.
The actors who are playing those parts, particularly the twins, are like, okay, this is creepy. That, yeah, you don't want to meet them on a dark alley or in a wooded grove when it's gone midnight, because your car's not coming back with any tires.
for sure. I do think the Taika Waititi comparisons are spot on. Like, like his quirky awkwardness, that's what this is strong on. But it's not, to me, in a bad way, that it's not like it's copying him or anything like that.
No, not at all. It's its own thing.
Yeah, I like the originality to this too, because while it plays on the kind of comedy, it is still like, I would say, a story we haven't seen before.
Sure.
But I'd also throw out the comparison that it reminds me of Her a lot.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, the problem with Her is, to me, a brilliant masterpiece of a film. And that everything that has ever come since Her, I think it was 2014,
sure,
has basically been a what if Her but this.
Yeah, yeah.
And nothing can ever live up to Her.
Mm-hmm.
And this film is that same kind of like, oh, he meets this woman and there was no like, he's going to meet a woman or meet some others that aren't good for him or any. It was just like the first scene together, I was like, okay, then the next three scenes, they're going to obviously, they're like the perfect awkward couple and, you know, it'll work.
But I think it's a fairy tale. Fairy tales are fairly linear in their approach in terms of here's the good person, here's the bad person, this is how it's going to play out. But I think the strength of the film is Charles is growing up and Charles is learning to deal with the world and his naivety. I think that's the huge attraction to the film is this relationship. And also Brian having to take on parental responsibilities, which he is woefully inequipped to deal with. And this is kind of where I see, is it Faith, the girlfriend character, or the wannabe girlfriend character, in a sense that she helps enable Brian to take that step forward, to step through the door and actually push back when before he would slink back into the shadows and just let himself be run over.
Yeah, yeah. It's almost like, in the way you explain it now, it almost feels like a opposite story then, where it's like instead of the guy having trouble with the girl helps him learn how to deal with a quote-unquote child, as you indicated that Charles is.
Yes.
And that he's, like you said, he's not ready to handle this, but she helps him handle it, which is it's a cool twist on the typical story of, you know, guy has kid with a girl he loves and they don't know how to raise it.
Sure.
And I think the other comparison, now that you talk about this, that I want to throw out there is Chappie.
Yeah.
This is, to me, almost like Chappie in a funkier, more indie way.
Yes.
Where it's like, he's kind of a child, what is it like to raise him? And how does he act and interact with the world? And I love in this film the way Charles would always like refer, instead of the typical sci-fi robot way of, oh, this is what they're programmed, the way he would, I guess it's through the dialogue, the way he would almost express his limitations, be like, oh, I don't know what's outside of the farm, or I don't know what it's like, that delicacy with his misunderstanding of the world and his lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
Also because it's, as you say, a fairy tale. I have no idea how he programmed him. I have no idea how he got his data, like how he understands anything. I have no idea how he has an AI, because the film explains none of this. It's just like, he just builds him and you're done. And you're like, oh, okay.
There's this big, huge, I can't call it a MacGuffin, but an inciting instant of a bolt of lightning, which has got huge kind of Frankenstein references.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then suddenly post that, he absorbs a dictionary and learns how to speak English, operate a TV, he's absorbing popular culture like a sponge, and obviously he's being taught, albeit through the lens of Brian, as to what the world is like, which in itself is a distortion, because Brian, you know, has his issues with the outside world as it is. I think it has charm, it has delicacy. If you put me to the sword, does it have a crossover appeal? No, this is going to be a sleeper. Sleeper indie hit.
But that's what I like about this. Is, to me, what Sundance is about, is these films that aren't meant to be like massive hits, but when you see it, or when, you know, in the days before we were in the film world, like the friend told you about this film you got to see, and you watch it, and you're like, no one else knows about this.
This is the film that you're going to pass on to other people and say, you must watch.
Yeah.
Make some time.
Is it a masterpiece? No, I don't think so.
No.
I think that's what you're saying too. Like, it's not, it didn't blow me away, but I was taken by it by the end. There was something where I couldn't resist its kookiness by the end.
I also like, and again, it's kind of hard to talk about the end without revealing kind of where we're going, but I love the choice that Brian makes at the end, and the acknowledgement that Brian makes about himself and about his relationship with Charles. And it's very mature, which is interesting because there are occasional shots through the script, through the story, that there are some very mature, telling adult moments in amongst all this whimsy and comical farce. I really, really hope that it finds an audience. I want it to find an audience. I want it to be...
This is why we're talking about it.
This is the DVD that you hand to people or whatever, say, hey, this is screening here, you should really go and see it. Again, this kind of works in its favour, and maybe it's an uneven playing field kind of thing, but I didn't have any expectations. And so consequently, when you get surprised, that surprise is amplified by the fact you didn't have any expectations.
There's no marketing. There's
no.
But this is what I love about film festivals, is I love festivals for the very reason that you just said, which is you go into films having no idea of what's going on.
Yeah.
And all you have is like one picture and a synopsis which can or can't be accurate. And then you just kind of go in with no other idea of what you're about to see, and you just hope for the best. This one being an exception only in that it had a short, and I knew that going.
Sure.
But the bigger surprise, although it wasn't a blow-me-away surprise, was what happens after that.
Yeah.
As on first showing, we post tons of short films, so I watch a lot of them.
Sure.
And one of the main questions I had is, you know, can you make a lot of features I feel like would be better as a short because their concept isn't really that great. This one is like the ultimate question of, short is great, you know, what more can you dig into between these two characters?
It's tough because you're quite correct. A lot of short films kind of are made to be the advert of what the feature film could be if only budget and everything else was there. Mm-hmm. And then when it happens, sometimes it feels like a piece of toast spread too thinly. Mm-hmm. And on this occasion, this just about hits the mark for me. Mm-hmm. It's got enough there, but like you say, it's not like, oh wow, there was so much more to tell. It finds the right balance, and I think because of the genre, because of the tone, because of the light comedic absurdist feel to it, it kind of gets away with it.
Yeah, exactly,
because spiritually it's in the right place for that kind of levity.
Beautifully said.
So there you go.
Check it out.
Check it out, definitely.
Keep an eye out for it. I mean, I'm sure it'll show up.
I mean, it's like, it's at Sundance now. Do we have any predictions or any sense of where it might go or what the response has been?
No, not yet.
It's too early. We're too early.
This is also the thing about festivals, is you get to see stuff early, but you have no idea what else is going on. You know, no one is, because we're not allowed to talk about it, you just don't. That's always one of my biggest questions when I got out of a festival film is, what did other people think? Did they like it too?
Sure,
or did they hate it as much as I did?
Sure. But isn't this a moment to build word of mouth, to build interest in a film, and just say, hey, look, this is worth talking about. This is worth discussion.
This is why we're doing this.
Indeed. Yes, indeed. No, it was a delightful discovery.
Good.
There we go.
Great.
So if you like that instant reaction, please consider signing up for more. By subscribing to our podcast, you'll be alerted every time a new instant reaction drops and when we're able to share it with you. Also, because sometimes a film can really start to grow on you, we'll be hosting an extra roundtable podcast to see if these initial feelings still hold true. So until then, please keep safe, and we look forward to seeing you on the next instant no spoiler reaction. All the best. Bye.